welcome to the Inspired Intentions podcast with Skyterra Wellness. If you've been too busy and not taking care of yourself, it's time to reset habits and plunge into your new normal. I'm your host, Jeff Ford, and I'm here today with my co-host, Rachel Colasino.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Rachel. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I am excited.
I am too.
As usual. Yeah, because we always have these topics that are in this world that can be quite controversial. People are passionate about them. And I don't know if you agree. I think the top three are politics.
Definitely. Especially right now.
Right now. Yeah, especially. Religion.
Sure. Always.
Yeah. And then this one might surprise folks. Nutrition is definitely a hot topic.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, the good news is we're not talking about any of those
today. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. We are talking about the fourth kind of passionate, controversial topic. Everybody kind of has an opinion about it. You know what that is?
Tell me.
Footwear.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to really dive deep into it.
People are very loyal to their footwear brands.
They are. I think it's like you get used to one brand.
Yeah.
And once it works for you, you just kind of, you stay with it.
Yeah. 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 It's that passion.
Do you have a certain type of footwear that you love?
I have a couple, depending on what my activity is.
Okay. Yeah. And I think it's important to have different footwear for different activities.
Exactly.
Yeah. So where do you want to start?
Let's talk about shoes.
Okay. Yeah. I think when we think about what we're going to be putting on our feet every day, we can kind of take this from the athletic realm, what you're going to be putting on your feet to move your body.
Right.
And so really, instead of getting right into brands, the first three things folks should start to think about with shoes is, what is the drop of the shoe? How wide is the toe box? And then is that shoe flexible? This is what I kind of call the big three.
The big three. Can I just ask you just to take a step back? Yeah. Are we talking about just shoes for athletics?
So this can apply to anything you're going to be putting on your feet for a long period of time.
Okay.
I believe that if we want to keep our feet healthy over the long haul, it has a lot to do with that everyday footwear that you might be putting on. And when we think of like corporate settings, high heels, and different alternatives that are out there for your work day, this can actually cause a lot of issues over time if we don't abide by those big three.
Right. So if you think to, and this is why I asked you, because if you think about, you know, like you said, people in a corporate environment, maybe they're doing a lot of walking for their commuting, or maybe they're standing at a standing desk all day. Yeah. Even though they're not, you know, we're not specifically talking about like running or running shoes, but it is, like you said, what they have on their feet for a long period of time and they're still moving.
Yes.
Or even just standing. So it needs, it's important, no matter what.
No matter what the situation. I mean, of course, in a gym setting or if you're at a workout class, it's going to be especially important because you're moving more dynamically and doing different things. But just in your everyday, having that wide toe box, having your foot closer to the ground and having a flexible shoe is totally crucial.
Yeah. So let's maybe talk about those three, your big three.
Yeah. I think we've got to break down the criteria because when you go to a shoe store and you're looking for new footwear, it's sometimes hard to figure out if the shoe is going to abide by those things. And so maybe let's start with the most complicated, which is what I referenced as the drop
sure.
of a shoe. You know what the drop is,
I
right?
I do. Yeah.
You want me to explain it?
I think.
You got it.
I got it.
Take it. I'll fill in the gaps. I believe in you on this because you do some running. You know what's worked for you.
Yeah. So the drop in a shoe is what the distance is from heel to toe.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about how elevated your heel is going to be in a shoe, especially when we're talking about a sneaker, you're looking to see how high up your heel is going to be because you want your heel to be closer to the ground. You want it to be more in line with what your toe is.
100%. You nailed it.
Thanks,
nice job.
Thank
put you on the spot there too. Yeah, it's really, we want the heel to not be too much higher than the forefoot. A nice way of thinking about this is if your heel is higher all the time, it's essentially like you're walking downhill.
Yeah.
And the biggest issue with this, well, there's quite a few issues, but specific to the drop is usually your heel cord, your Achilles tendon area, kind of that part behind the back of your, at the top of the foot, back of below the calf. That area is the one that starts to shorten over time. And this is pretty detrimental from a standpoint of just your ankle range of motion, which then can actually lead to knee issues and then all the way up to the chain to hip or even lower back issues.
So if your heel is higher, that's going to affect the range of motion of your ankle?
Yeah, basically your musculature starts to not work in the same way as it would if your foot was getting more time on the ground, like more contact time.
Sure.
So our bodies adapt. They're really smart. And if our bodies get comfortable at a higher height, that kind of heel to toe differential, then it does cause problems in a lot of different areas.
Yeah, because if you think about how we've evolved, I mean, our ancestors were not wearing shoes with elevated heels.
No, no. And I mean, 1970s is where you started to really see the high heel come about. Like we used to wear Converse was a classical brand. And, you know, there's even some reasons why Converse aren't the best, but they do abide by a flat position. As far as like what a shoe, the purpose of it, it's really to protect your feet more than anything in this day and age. So whether you're walking on concrete, which wasn't around, you know, 200 right. years ago, or glass, like that's kind of the main function of it. And so if we can start to recalibrate what we can put on our feet to protect the health of them, it's going to go a long way.
And I think too, I mean, we've been talking about drop, but what that looks like if you're in a shoe store is, you know, you'll see shoes that have, for example, like a lot of cushion, a lot of gel in the heel, and that's going to build up that heel. So that's what it's going to look like.
Yeah. Yeah. You can kind of pinpoint it. It can be tough to tell. The best question to ask the shoe expert that you might be working with or whoever's starting to give you some ideas about footwear is to ask them, what's the millimeter differential? So what we recommend for most folks who don't have foot issues, again, this has got to be a case-by-case conversation, is to get into a shoe that is 5 millimeters or less.
Of the drop.
Of the drop. Yeah, that's a great place to start. The good news is, we'll talk about brands later on today, but almost all brands abide by this. They have one line in their arsenal that is going to abide by the 5 millimeter or less. So if you do have a particular brand you like, you can usually find the right amount of drop that's still going to be in line with some of our recommendations.
So you mean most brands have one particular model of shoe?
Yeah, model.
Yeah, has the drop of 5 millimeters or less.
Typically. And there's definitely been some movements in footwear, like the minimalist movement, where everybody was going to the zero drop.
Yeah.
And that actually caused a lot of problems. Do you remember what shoe came out in the 90s and people started to have issues?
Vibram.
Yeah, right? It was those like glove shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. Those were funky looking.
They were. Did you ever buy a pair?
I didn't, but I knew somebody who wore one. He was wearing them just to mow his lawn and he stepped on a walnut in his yard.
Did he have like a walnut tree?
He must have.
You know who must have a walnut tree in their backyard? Our executive producer.
Yeah, he probably planted it.
yeah. And he probably like sautés his walnuts or something. Something crazy, I'm sure. But we'll talk to him after the show.
Yeah, we'll find out.
So back to your friend.
So he actually broke a bone in his foot just because he had no protection.
No protection. Yeah. And probably his foot had not built up the strength or the calluses that were necessary. That's the big thing is like when we talk about drop, I want our listeners to be very aware that we're not telling you to go out and buy zero drop today.
No.
This is definitely a gradual thing that you want to think about as you slowly build up the strength of your foot, start to get that heel cord and Achilles tendon going more. And it takes time, but it's really cool that just by what you put on your feet, you can start to strengthen things in the right direction.
And I do want to talk about tips for strengthening feet and lower extremity. I know you have a bunch of those, but just to take a step back for a second, you know, to your point of people being really loyal to their brands and, you know, shoe being a personal thing, case-by-case basis, in your opinion, is there ever a time where someone would need an athletic shoe with a pretty high drop or with a high heel?
As far as the case-by-case basis, number one, you always want to go to a podiatrist who could help you sort this out. Mm. Not all podiatrists, I would say, would have the same perspective that we're preaching here. I always like to tell folks that we're sort of more on the preventative side. It doesn't mean that at any time you can't start to change your body and make improvements. I think there are times where, say, I'm a little bit later in life. I didn't hear this information early on in my, you know, 30s or 40s, and I already have a lot of foot pain. Well, the pain is already present. So when pain is present. We have to take a step back. Maybe we use a more cushioned shoe at first, but we slowly start to think about what are those exercises we can include, or what are those mobility techniques that we can provide that individual to start to recalibrate those feet. And I do think, believe it or not, you can change your feet at any time. There's a lot of good doctors out there who take more of an approach that's on the preventative side.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's good for people to hear.
Can I share one more analogy?
Please.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily in love with this analogy, but I think it helps people understand the reason why you'd maybe use an orthotic or you'd maybe go to a more cushioned shoe. We have a lot of folks who come in with high blood pressure. Mm. They might go see their doctors and they register on higher blood pressure readings. So their doctor is going to give them something to help with the blood pressure. That doesn't mean that that individual isn't going to change their nutrition. Doesn't mean they're not going to move their bodies more and focus on things that would bring that blood pressure down. So I think that's a good way of thinking about this, is some of the shoe interventions that are out there. One, they're very personal, but two, it really could be a place that you start and then you take some of these tips today and start to kind of wean yourself off some of that cushion or maybe that orthotic.
Sure. That's a great plan.
Yeah.
Okay. So
you wasn't too intense.
You're a little intense, but that's what the public likes.
Awesome. Thanks, listeners.
So your big three of footwear, the first one was the drop, which is the heel to toe distance. We're looking for 5 millimeters or less. Mm-hmm. The second is the width of the toe box. And I do love a nice wide toe
box.
You? I do.
I think a lot of people of the big three, this is the one that folks usually don't put up a fuss about in regards to, like, this makes sense. So the nice image of thinking about this is when you think about your hand, you have a lot of splayage in the hand typically.
Splayage.
It's the word of the day, splayage.
That's great.
Yeah. And so I'll see guests they'll come to Connect class or they'll go to yoga class and I'll like creep them out. I'll be like, you got great splayage. And they don't even know what I'm talking about. But what I mean by splayage is the toe separation. Mm. So that's really important. I mean, your big toe is especially important for like governing the health of your arches. And so having a space between your toes, you'll even see yoga specialists put on what's called yoga toes, where they'll actually space out. It's like spacers for your toes.
Oh, wow.
Or say you go to like a nail salon, they'll put those spacers in. That's a way of kind of starting to widen out those gaps again. But over time, because of the footwear we might be wearing, such as like high-heeled shoes or just shoes that have very narrow toe boxes, everything will sort of condense over time, which then can cause some pain in the foot, maybe even up into the ankle, and then of course, up the chain again.
Yeah, and you can see that. I mean, when you take off dress shoes, for example, mm-hmm. your toes are all, they're not splayed at all. They're all squished together.
Yeah. Yeah. And Lindsay, our dietitian, she played Division I soccer.
Your lovely wife.
My wife. Yeah. And I give her a hard time sometimes for her toes, but it's from her cleats.
Oh.
So she wore cleats for so many years as part of soccer. And you can definitely see kind of the changes. She definitely has like naturally born higher arches. But it is interesting is if you track kind of your history of footwear that you've had on, you'll see how your feet have kind of evolved over time.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to give our listeners a visual too. So Jeff, you are great at talking with your hands. You're very mm-hmm. passionate and expressive.
Mm.
And while you were talking about splayage, listeners, he had his hand up in the air and he was spreading his fingers really far apart. So that's what you want to think about when you're thinking about a wide toe box.
100%. And when you look at a foot, like how it was naturally designed, it was meant to be a little bit bigger in the front. Just modern day has kind of changed how our feet have adapted to what we're putting on.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you think too, I mean, some of the runners that I work with, mm-hmm. if they're running a longer race, your feet swell as you're running.
Yeah.
So you want to have room. I know one of the athletes I've been working with, she was having some foot pain and turns out her shoes were one size too small, a whole size too small.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And it was, she was buying by her dress shoe size.
Okay.
And not giving herself, you know, room for her mm-hmm. her feet to expand.
What do you think about the recommendation to do like a half a size up in like athletic shoes specifically because of the swelling?
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
I have tried a whole size and that was too much for me. Mm-hmm. I think, again, it's probably going to be case by case. I would start with half a size.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Jeff, if I'm in a shoe store and I'm looking, you know, I've asked about the drop.
Mm-hmm.
Is there if I'm looking for a wide toe box, is that something I'm just looking for visually?
Yeah, that's going to be more of a visual aspect of analysis. So there's a lot of great brands who are doing it. We're saving those for the end, so don't worry.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Have your pens and pencils ready?
Yeah.
Do people still use pencils?
I think they do.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like a good pencil. Not those mechanical ones, though, because
I like
the
mechanical.
Lead. You like mechanical?
I do, yeah.
I don't
it's a
agree.
Nice fine point.
Yeah. So back on topic. Anyways, you definitely want to just evaluate the shoe by eye. So a good way is to almost put the shoe on top of your foot. And you should see that naturally that toe box is wider than the foot. I don't want to give like wrong measurements, but you should at least see that it's wider than the front of your foot. And that's going to allow that foot to, over time, start to get more of that splayage that we've been talking about.
And some people have narrow feet. Some people have wider feet. So it's going to be, again, case by case.
100.
Okay. So in your big three, we had drop, toe box width with good splayage.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one, which is flexibility.
Yes.
And you are smiling. You like flexible shoes.
I do like flexible shoes. I like flexible people too. I'm just playing. I'm a very flexible person. Anyways, the flexibility of a shoe is important. And this is one that I don't think everybody talks about. But most shoes these days are very, very stiff. Especially when you think of like a work setting shoe, they tend to be really, really stiff. And even in athletic shoes, there's sometimes terminology like a motion control shoe or a shoe that's going to help your overpronation. And I think these evaluations are good to look at, you know, if someone's excessively overpronating. Well, we know that's something we can start to change in different ways. And everybody's going to have a different thought on that. I don't run by the belief that a shoe is going to necessarily be the thing that really solves the overpronation issue.
That's right.
And what we mean by that is excessive like inward rolling of the foot.
Where you land on the outside of your foot and it rolls in.
Smashes in. Yeah. And that's the most common technical flaw that we see. Even when folks walk, you can see overpronation, which it's not as big of an issue as when someone's running. But a stiff shoe is kind of a common culprit to actually sometimes causing more of that action.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So when you look at a shoe, the reason you want it flexible is so that your foot can be a foot. It allows the foot to move how it naturally wants to. And of course, our body changes and our foot mechanics change based off a lot of things. One of those being like your hip mobility. So like sitting actually can cause a lot of issues down the chain, just like we're talking about issues can come up the chain.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
Can you say more about letting your foot be a foot?
I love that line, don't you?
Yeah, that's great.
I think I stole it from somewhere. It might have been Dr. Nick Campitelli.
Okay.
And so that's a good reference to share. I know our executive producer was waiting for me to share a reference.
He loves references.
Yeah, and he's got a running blog. I don't know if it's still as active. I read about him a long time ago, but he's actually a podiatrist, I believe, out of Ohio. I want to say Cleveland. Could be wrong. But what's really great is he actually shows pictures of how some of these techniques we're going to share later today have started to build up people's arches, and it's been a non-orthotic approach to getting these people rehabbed and strengthening those feet. So letting the foot be a foot is essentially this idea that once we put something on our feet, we lose what's called proprioception. That's another big word of
the day. That's a great word.
And to break that down, proprioception just means that your foot loses, so it's feeling. So proprioception means feeling. When our foot is obstructed by maybe a lot of cushion, a built-up shoe, a stiff shoe, then we're not able to feel the contact of the ground in the same manner that we would if we were, say, barefoot or wearing something that's a little bit more lower profile into the ground.
Right. So when we're talking about feeling, we're talking about the movement of your body and what that feels like in space and what it feels like when you hit the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's super important because if you think about it, like from a standpoint of you take someone's shoes off, they would naturally start to position their feet in the manner that they should be positioned while they walk or while they run. And so footwear can mask a lot of the feedback that we should be receiving. So that's what a flexible shoe will do for you.
Right.
It's going to give you more feedback on where your foot should basically be hitting the ground.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Because the cushioning when your foot hits the ground for that footfall, mm-hmm. the cushioning is going to mask what would be really painful movement otherwise.
Yeah, and if we don't fix our form, of course, maybe the cushion's going to help mitigate some of those consequences. But when you look, it's so funny. You look at like Nike commercials, and I love Nike. I think they've got a great culture.
We're getting into brands.
Yeah, we are. We'll talk about Nike because there are some, they almost are pretty close to the big three, actually. So we'll talk about them. But when you look at like, whether it's Nike, whether it's these other running companies, when you look at ads, I think it's always so funny. You always see these ads with people hitting their heels.
Heel striking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just bashing that heel into the ground.
Yeah.
And that's a whole other conversation, but that's kind of what we're talking about is like, you're going to be more apt to land out in front. You're going to be more apt to kind of have a bigger stride when you walk because you're not getting the feedback that your feet deserve.
Which you get from a flexible shoe.
Flexible shoe. I mean, the drop also plays a role there.
Sure. Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Jeff, I'm in the shoe store. I have found the shoe that has the drop 5 millimeters or less.
Mm-hmm.
I've looked at the toe box. It's pretty wide.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a test that I can...
I can't believe we almost forgot this. Do you know the test? Or am I going to just blow your mind here?
Tell us.
Yeah. So this is super cool. I do this all the time. You just want to bend the shoe.
Yeah.
So pick it up, start bending it. The shoe person might look at you like, what are you doing to my shoe? Are you going to buy that? Just bending it, and you want it to be able to bend almost where it could touch the other side.
Mm.
So that's a good test retest.
Sure.
And it gives us three ways to make sure you're assessing all of those big three.
That's great.
Yeah.
So let's talk. We started to talk a little bit about minimalist shoes. And I don't want to talk specifically about that. I want to talk more about, so I have found a new shoe.
Mm-hmm.
How do I break it in? Like, how do I introduce it into my life, really?
So you want to slowly introduce it. This is the big thing to be aware of is human movement will always dictate what happens long term. So a lot of short term injuries, long term injuries can sometimes be because we did too much too quick.
Sure.
And so when you're switching a shoe, we really recommend that you maybe email us with questions on how you could switch. That's always fine.
That's great.
Yeah, we encourage that.
And that email address is inspiredintentions@skyterrawellness.com.
Boom.
Goes right to Jeff and me.
Yeah, I'm happy to answer those questions because it is, we've been using the word personal. That's the thing with shoes is, of course, everybody's got a certain brand, but it's also a personal transition period.
Mm.
So that's what I would recommend is that you allow yourself a transition period. This could be like, say you're doing 3 workout classes currently a week, and some of that involves cardio of some sort where you're using your feet. maybe one out of those 3 classes, you start wearing the more minimal footwear.
Okay.
Or maybe you have a walking program that you're on.
Sure.
And you do 5 days a week of 30 minutes of walking. Maybe you start with 2 or 3 of those days being the more minimal footwear. That's a really like low intensity recommendation. Really is going to depend on the health of the person's feet. If you don't have as many foot issues, you haven't had pain in the past, or things haven't come up for you, such as like plantar fasciitis being one of those things,
sure.
Then you could maybe integrate a little bit quicker. This could be based off hours too. So you could be like, I'm going to spend 2 to 3 hours today in my shoes the first week, and then kind of scale up to 3 to 4 hours and go from there.
And I would know if I overdid by maybe calf pain.
Yeah, maybe calf pain, maybe just like general fatigue
sure.
of the bottom of your feet. Because at first, when you do switch to a lower profile shoe, it is totally going to kind of change the game. And you'll feel it because I don't know about you, Rachel, but I've personally made this switch over time just because I had a lot of injuries coming up for me when I was in my heyday. Of all the running.
Aren't you still in your heyday, Jeff?
I think I am.
You are.
I mean, now we have a podcast, so it feels like we just entered the heyday, maybe.
Yes.
The running heyday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're in it.
Yep. So hopefully that gives our listeners a good vantage point of slowly transitioning, and then definitely ask us. We'd be happy to give you some tips depending on who you are.
And then speaking of tips.
Yeah.
What about strengthening feet, keeping feet healthy?
Yeah, so this is important. There's this one muscle out there, and it's really tough to pronounce.
We've actually been practicing this.
We have, because this was, again, from Dr. Nick Campitelli. He, in a lot of his articles, he's spoken about this, and it's even in some books that are out there when we talk about foot health. and it's called the abductor hallucis.
Yeah,
muscle.
You did it.
I did it. Yeah. And so this runs from about the heel to the big toe. And so it really controls kind of that anterior arch to a degree. And when you think of the foot, it's really a combination of arches. Oftentimes when we refer to the foot, we're like, oh, you know, this person has a high arch. There's a combination. So you've got that inside arch, you've got the outside, and then you've got the one that kind of connects the two. So we can see issues over time in each of those. But by strengthening the abductor hallucis muscle,
nice.
This is going to really kind of reprogram those arches to become that natural spring. And I think that's a good image for people to keep in their brain, is that we were all meant to have kind of natural springs in our feet. And that's what kind of shock absorbs some of the impact that we might have walking or running, and saves those knees, of course, over time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how do I strengthen the abductor hallucis?
Yeah. So you've got a few options. Honestly, just doing like air squats barefoot. And what I mean by air squats is body weight squats. Mm-hmm. Doing them barefoot and paying attention to pressing your big toe into the ground and really pushing out in that body weight squat in your bare feet will actually start to strengthen that muscle over time. So that's really simple.
That's great.
It's actually the first movement we teach at SkyTerra.
It's an important movement.
Did you know that?
I did know that.
Do you know what class we do it in?
Tell me.
Move Well.
Move Well. That's a great name.
Yep. All our listeners who have been to SkyTerra, they know.
They know.
They know we're very particular on squats. So you could do that. You could also just integrate some balance work. So standing on a balance pad barefoot, once again. Again, it, just like that transition period we talk about, you don't want to do too much.
Sure.
But just making sure you're pressing that big toe into the ground. A single leg stand, even on the ground, is going to help. So you lift one leg up, maybe accumulate 30 to 60 seconds, and you'll be well on your way to starting to get that muscle going.
And those are
going.
Such simple movements too.
Yeah, I don't want to throw out anything like extreme. And the good news is, there's really not, you could level up by doing like a dumbbell swap. So what I mean by that is you'd stand on one leg and then you would hold a dumbbell to kind of force your foot to press that big toe into the ground. So you can kind of manipulate that technique a little bit further. But yeah, it's not rocket science for building the feet back up.
And you can even do that if you're standing in line waiting for something or washing dishes.
Like a grocery store.
Yeah. Waiting at Starbucks.
The person in front of you just like is messing around, you know?
So Jeff, before we get into brands, I did want to ask about kids' shoes. So your lovely daughter, Mia.
She will always wear proper footwear.
I'm sure she will. So what about kids' shoes? What should parents be looking for?
Well, I think the difficulty is sometimes adults do this too. We pick a shoe because of how it looks, because it's pretty. And so I think we've got to be careful with that. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to be able to say no to Mia if she's picking a shoe that I don't approve. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But kids' footwear actually usually does a pretty good job from what I've scoped out thus far. So you want to look for the same exact things. There's not much that changes. I think you want to look for things where I'm not a huge fan of flip-flops. And I know you've been avoiding the topic.
I have been avoiding the topic.
I do like flip-flops. You want to look for the same exact criteria. And if we are getting more of a sandal, a strap that goes over the top of the foot is better than the that little thing in the front of a flip-flop. I can never remember what that thing is.
The thong.
Oh, yeah. I didn't want to say that on air because we were talking about kids. I don't know. I'm sorry. Nothing changes. What is interesting about kids is really their mechanics don't change until about like first or second grade. Mm. And the reason being is that they start sitting in desks. And so this is really something to always reflect back on is we always talk about how we want to move our bodies throughout the day and limit sit time. For children, that's especially important to be aware of, is having them in the right footwear and then keeping them moving at a young age will definitely help preserve their feet.
That's great.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk about flip-flops?
We can. I mean, do you understand why
they
might not be the best choice? Well, let's go through how long, when you put a flip-flop on, how long do you wear the flip-flop for?
Oh, not very long, actually.
Great. Not that is the correct answer, Rachel. So that's the thing is like with flip-flops, it just shouldn't be like, say you're going to like Universal Studios or Disney World, you probably shouldn't wear flip-flops all day. And the reason being is it actually pulls down like almost the arch in a way. So over time, those arches can sort of weaken. And that's the difficulty with putting on the wrong footwear is like we might weaken the body. This is the same reason why too much cushion, like doing way too much cushioning like every single day will cause the same effect, but it kind of forces your foot, like your big toe.
Because you're having to hold the shoe on.
It's a grip. I mean, the simplest way of like realizing why a flip-flop is probably not awesome is just try to jog in a flip-flop.
Yeah.
And see what happens.
Yeah.
Usually doesn't work out very
No,
well.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
No. Okay, Jeff.
Did I offend you?
No, I'm okay.
I hope our listeners are okay.
I think they're okay.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So flip-flops, fine. But honestly, I would limit the amount of time.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Maybe you just wear them in the shower if you're weirded out by what might be in your shower. I mean, we hope you're cleaning your shower. But you know, like when you're in a shower, you don't know.
Yeah.
You might want to wear flip-flops.
You might. You might.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to talk brands?
We have to talk brands.
Yeah.
We've been pushing that all episode.
Yeah. So we, you know, again, this is a really personal thing, but mm-hmm. I think that Jeff, you probably get this question a lot, mm-hmm. which is, you know, what brands do you recommend? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, what do you usually tell people when they ask you that?
So like we said earlier, every brand is doing this in one of their models. So if you have a brand that you like, you can probably find the criteria that we've been discussing today in that brand. Brands that I know abide by this no matter what, like across all of their shoe lines.
Sure.
Here would be my top three that are a little bit more universal, like global. You could go to most stores and find these.
Sure.
One is called Ultra Running.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just a running shoe. They have different shoes. And when we call it a running shoe, that's just like the branding side of it. But they abide by all three criteria. So they meet the drop. They're actually always zero drop. So you might need to gradually move into these. Some models have a fair amount of cushion, which can make that transition period a little bit better, but they've got really nice wide toe boxes and they are super flexible.
And is that Ultra with an A or a U?
It's with an A.
A-L-T-R-A.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would be one brand to check out. My personal favorite brand, I'm actually wearing them right now because I knew we were going to talk about this today. They're called Merrell.
Merrell.
Yeah. And Merrell, I think even a lot of hikers like Merrell. Merrell's awesome. They, most of their footwear, some of their footwear is closer to the 5mm or even up, but they've got some of those Vibram bottoms. So Vibram, the brand we were talking about earlier, I know you pronounce it Vibram. that kind of technology, you can find it on a lot of different brands. So it seems like they've sourced that out to kind of get that zero drop for other footwear. So Merrell actually has adapted that to their shoes. And I just really like that brand. I think it they have a lot of options.
Okay.
And there's some pretty options for whoever might want different colors. Yeah. And then the third brand I'd say from just like a purely like kind of workout shoe, athletic shoe, would be Topo Athletic. It's probably the lesser known mm-hmm. of the three. Actually used to be a brand ambassador for them.
I knew you were.
Yeah, this is still a free commercial for them.
That's nice of you.
Yeah. And I believe the owner of the company used to actually work for Vibram. And he basically branched out. And I like how he kind of put out the lines as he only goes up to 5mm, but then he goes all the way, like the shoe line goes down to zero drop. So you can find some nice hiking shoes.
That's a nice range,
model. And he gives a nice range, to where, and it's not him who's making the shoes, but the company gives a nice range of 5mm down to 3 and then down to 0. So you can find some that are going to abide by all the criteria. And those you typically have to order online.
Mm-hmm.
A little more difficult to find in stores, but still going to be the same jam like the other two.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so to summarize.
Wait, there's a couple other.
Oh, I thought you were doing three. Let's do it. Yeah.
Well, that's the big three for athletic, and just a couple quick ones, and we'll totally summarize. We know you guys are ready to go out to the store, buy some new shoes, or you might be ready to email us with some of the further questions that you have. There's this local brand here that I've fallen in love with in North Carolina.
You're kidding.
Oh my gosh. And I was wearing these at Skytera, and someone's like, "Are you in designer footwear?" And I'm like, "Nope. It's not designer footwear. but it looks like designer footwear.
Oh, that's important for people.
Yeah, and this is where if you come to SkyTerra, you're going to have to make a trip somewhere and find these shoes, because I don't think they branch them out as much. You can, of course, get them online, I believe, but they're called Astral.
A-S-T-R-A-L?
E.
E-S-T.
Yes. Yep. Is it an A? Might be an A. We'll do our research.
Check the show notes.
Yep. Yeah. It's all good. They're great shoes. I love them so much that I don't even have to look down at them and remember how to spell them. That's how good they are. But what's awesome is it's kind of a local brand here, and they're more like that kick around shoe. So we were referring, like, you can of course wear them to work out and things like that, but they look nice dressed up. They look, you know, even for female lines look great too. I know a lot of people are just looking for things that they can kick around on the weekends and not as maybe dressy, but it kind of fringes between dressy and athletic. And I've fallen in love with them.
And it's great to support local.
100%.
And you don't hear a lot of US-based shoe brands.
No.
So that's really neat.
I think there's some social causes attached to how they produce their footwear as well. Another brand I like, these are more the kick around style of shoes, is Sanuk. I think people have heard of Sanuk. They're like the covered sandal, they call them.
Yes.
I think sometimes. You can't find them as much now because I don't think as many people are buying them.
You know where I see them a lot?
Where?
Is like vacation-y, beachy type stores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, oh gosh, Lindsay wants me to throw my Sanuks away. This is like footwear. Lindsay, my wife. And it's like, you can wear them like forever, it feels like, or at least I believe I can.
Okay.
But they're great. They abide by all the three criteria, and they're really easy to slip on.
They're comfortable too.
Yeah. Like if you got to do dog walks, like I do with Carl.
Yes.
Yeah. I slip those on and roll and come on back.
That's important too. Shoes that go on easily.
Yeah. So those are a few other brands. The only other one I'm going to bring to the table, we'll leave it at six today, is called Vivo Barefoot. This is an international brand, and why I want to point this one out is maybe for the gentlemen, even the ladies out there, is they have more styles that are going to be dressier.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys noticed at the Christmas party this last year, but I was wearing my Vivo Barefoot dress shoes. Yeah. Yeah. And they're a little bit pricey, but they abide by all the criteria. They look great. And so say that corporate person out there, maybe someone's looking for something that's gonna be a little bit more dressier. One thing about that you brought up earlier is if you're standing at a stand-up desk all the time and you say have high heels or you have more shoes that don't abide by this, you could get a cushion pad and then try to take your shoes off during the day.
Sure.
Maybe in meetings, that would be weird, but that is something you can do without necessarily buying new footwear, is you can just give your feet a break from that like downward angle of that heel drop. But Vivo Barefoot,
that's
another
great
one to check out.
That's great. And you know, I, at the beginning of my career, I worked in New York City, and I remember people who would wear their sneakers for their commute, because the commute was often on the subway, long walks, and bring their dress shoes. But if you didn't have to do that, if you had shoes that would do both, that would be great.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Best of both worlds.
More room in your bag for snacks.
Oh, everybody needs snacks.
Yes. Yes. Are you ready to summarize?
I think we can summarize. This was a really great time.
This has been great. Okay. So Jeff's big three of footwear are the drop, looking for 5 millimeters or less, a wide toe box, flexible shoes, which you would know because you can bend them in half, and some of the favorite brands, Ultra, Merrell, Topol, Astral, Sanuk, and Vivo Barefoot.
Boom. And make sure you transition.
Yeah, that's
important.
Don't
go cold turkey. Keep this personal. The transition period is really important to get those feet where you might want them to be.
Thank you, Jeff.
This has been a great time.
This has been great.
Yeah. You know, just send us off.
I'm going to do it.
Thanks, listeners.
Thank you. The Inspired Intentions podcast is a production of SkyTerra Wellness Retreat. Special thanks to our executive producer, Alan Broyhill. Send us your questions and comments to inspiredintentions@skyterrawellness.com. Subscribe and rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
If you don't feel like it's going to be a 5-star review, just keep it to yourself.
And everywhere podcasts can be found. Join us next week as we cut through the unrealistic noise on diets and fitness and show you how healthy living fits seamlessly into your already busy life. Thanks for listening.